Hallelujah. Name is Christ. We commence our fourth class in the book of Matthew. So thus far, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, any question, any statement, any thought? The book of Matthew. Chapter 1 to chapter 4. Yes.
Why
the three women were included in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ? So a lot of you got the answer for that, right? And what were the reasons? What were the reasons? How did Tamar, right, be able to insert into the Lord Jesus Christ genealogy? Anyone? Anyone, then you read her story, right? What happened with her story? Joseph?
So, first was the wife, and the second his brother, younger brother, supposed to sympathize to get descendant.
Yeah.
But then he intentionally did something not good, so he died also. And she was waiting for the third one to grow up, but she read the ring came to Haman. She pretended she was a prostitute and put him to their children.
Yeah, so actually, from the beginning, Tamar is supposed to be, supposed to be the first son, right, the second son, but the second son would spill his seed, not why, because he didn't want her to continue her genealogy. In other words, she got cheated, right, of her genealogy, but then she had to pretend. In other words, actually, all these three women, the reason why they were able to including Lucius Christ's genealogy, because of God's grace, because of God's mercy. So this is the main reason. Just like nowadays for you and I, right? You and I are not supposed to be in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are not the spiritual Jews. But because of God's grace, God's mercy, God also allowed us to be the spiritual Jews, and we also are sons of Abraham. Right? So that is pretty much the conclusion of that. So when we look at the three women, actually they all did it because of faith. And they did it, they have strong determination to follow the God of Israel. That's also some things we need to look at also. Any other question, any other thought? If not, let's go to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read this verse to you, and then we can compare it. First, this is the Beatitude, right? The Beatitude is in Matthew chapter 5. How many blessings are blessed in the book of Matthew chapter 5? How many blessings are blessed here? How many? What's that? Nine. Who say nine? Any other number? Okay, when we study, we will know how many, right? We will know how many. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Then right afterward, we'll go to Luke chapter 6. And then from these two verses, you can compare and contrast to see what are the differences that we can come up with, okay? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciple came to him. Then verse 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Now let's go to the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 1. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So here, what's some of the differences here that we see in Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 and in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 17? Can anyone hear us? Yes, right? So a couple of things we can learn from this. The first thing, in the book of Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He went up to the mountain. Because he went up to the mountain, and then only his disciples came to him. And then in the book of Luke, he went down from the mountain and went to a level place. And because he went to a level place, then many people, including disciples, right, a great multitude from Judea, Jerusalem, and from Tyre and Sidon, came to hear him. Not only to hear him, but also to be healed from their diseases. And then, in the book of Matthew, how many blessings we say? Actually, it depends, right? It is 8 or 9. What about in the book of Luke? How many blessings in the book of Luke? How many blessings? 4. And then the last 4 is what? Huh? Sorry? Woes, yes. The last 4s are woes, right? Why is this? So it can tell us one thing. When you and I are able to reach up to the mountain, reach on top of the mountain, then our life will be blessing full of blessings. But if our spiritual life cannot reach up to where Jesus Christ intended for us to reach, then not our life will be mixed with not only blessing but also woes. And it seems nowadays it's like this for us. Because when we come down from the mountain, the thing that we focus on, it's not just blessing. It's not just hearing the word of God, but we also want to experience miracles inside. Just like these people. Yes, they came to hear the word of Jesus Christ, but they also want to be healed. Of course, there's nothing wrong wanting to be healed, but that's not the ultimate relationship that we want to have with our Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we want just to sit next to him and hear his word and receive blessing from him. And that blessing is not the physical aspect of our lives, but more of the spiritual aspect. But if you and I don't go up to the mountain, remember when God ascended on Mount Sinai, right? Who was on top of the mountain? Who? Who's on top of the mountain? Huh? You guys just yell it out. You don't need to raise your hand, just yell it out. Who was on top of the mountain when God ascended on Mount Sinai? Moses, right? Anybody else besides Moses? Huh? Was Joshua on top of the mountain? No. Yes, actually Joshua was on the third, right? The third way of the top of the mountain, right? So there's Moses, there's Joshua, a third of the way of the mountain, then who else were there? What's that? Yes, 70 elders, where were they? What's that? No, not on the foot of the mountain. They were where? Okay, yeah, so if they're not on the foot, they're not on the third, they must be in the middle, right? So in the middle of the mountain, right? And then the rest of the Israelites, they can't even touch the foot of the mountain, right? Why? Because during that time, they sin against God. They are not holy, right? So because of this, only hear the voice of God, they were so afraid. That's why they say to Moses, please, you go and talk to him, right? Because we are so afraid. their lives is not one that is full of holiness and righteousness. So the same thing for you and I nowadays. Every one of us, we're at equal level. Doesn't matter, we're a deacon, pastor, doesn't matter. Every one of us can reach all the way to the top of the mountain and receive blessing from God and speak to God face to face. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that intercedes for us nowadays. Not pastors, not anyone else, but our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, we have the potential to live a life that's full of blessing. Full of blessing. Now let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain. So when our Jesus Christ looked at the multitude, why did he go up to the mountain? He wanted to see who is truly determined to follow him. Who is truly determined to listen to his word. But through that time, the Bible said, and he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So in other words, not every multitude went up with him. Just like nowadays. You and I know that we need to pray and we need to read God's word if we want to reach on top of the mountain. If we want our life to be full of blessing. But quite often to go up to the, on top of the mountain is not an easy thing for us to do. So that's why if Jesus went up to the mountain, we just stay in the bottom, right? Waiting for him to come back down. But if we want to truly experience the life, blessing upon blessing, we cannot just stay at the bottom or level place in the mountain. We must go up. And the only way for us to go up to the mountain is by praying and reading God's word. So, and then look at verse 2. Then he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. So here, from verse 3 to verse 10, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us how to reach that mountain, how to live a life that's full of blessing, so our spiritual life can reach all the way to the Heavenly Father. And the first thing he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Here, when our Lord Jesus Christ talks about the kingdom of heaven, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? Anyone? The kingdom of heaven, what is he talking about? Anybody need to see a love? If you read the Bible, and every time it mentions the kingdom of heaven, it mentions three things, right? We know that, right? The first thing, the kingdom of heaven is the church. The second thing, the kingdom of heaven is inside our heart. And the third, the kingdom of heaven is in the heavenly places. But when you and I die, where do we go? Where do we go? When you and I die, where do we go? Right now, right? If all of us die right now, where do we go? Huh? Do we go to the kingdom of heaven? No. Actually, the kingdom of heaven, 90% of the time in the Bible mentioned, it's talking about the church. That's why for your homework, right, to read Matthew chapter 13, right? Talk about the kingdom of heaven, right? It's all talking about the church. And of course, talk about what's inside our hearts also. So when you and I die, if we die in Christ, we go to paradise. If we die without Christ, we go to Hades or hell. And what are we doing up there? Waiting for our Jesus Christ second coming. But if we're in hell, can we go to paradise? If we're in hell and Hades, can we go to paradise? No. So that's why some Christian create what? What is in between? Purgatory, right? Yeah, so they say, because the Bible said if you go to Hades, right, just like the rich man Lazarus, you can't, right, if you're in Hades, you're in Hades, you cannot go to paradise. So then we create a purgatory, this means it's in between places, right? So in between places, you have a chance to go to paradise if you die, right? Of course, it's not biblical, right? It's not biblical. So why are we waiting for Jesus' second coming? It's to be judged, right? To be judged. And if we're already in paradise, why are we going to be judged? For what? For what? For different reward, right? Even though we're already in paradise, but our reward would be, you know, some of us be, you know, glory just like the sun. Some of us be glory just like the moon. And some just like the stars. And different stars differs from one another, right? And in Hades, the same thing too. In Hades, it's not the final destination. Just like in paradise, it's not a final destination. But after we've been judged, then God will give us our glory, and then we go where? Go where? Eternal life. The Bible never mentioned heaven or the kingdom of heaven. Eternal life. Right? If you go to the Bible, every time we die, we go to eternal life. And then for those who hate this stuff, where do they go? Huh? Yes, eternal condemnation, which is the lake that burned with fire by the brimstone. That is eternal condemnation, which is worse, right, than Hades and hell. And just like eternal life is better than paradise. But eternal life, we have very few time. I mean, actually, we don't really know what it's like because there's no words on earth to describe it. That's why the Bible very few times describes what eternal life is like. Even Paul, when he went to the third heaven, which is, where's third heaven? Which is paradise, right? And then he said, he went up there, he really have no word to describe it, right? It's how wonderful it is, right? How beautiful it is, right? And Hades, and also the lake that burned with fire brings, and also is hard to describe. So this is, so that's why when we go back to chapter 5 here, how do we reach up to the mountain? Then verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. So in other words, it doesn't matter how much we read the Bible. It doesn't matter how much we pray. We always feel we're in need of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we read, the more we want to read. The more we pray, the more we want to pray. This is poor in spirit, right? But if you don't have this kind of yearning, if we don't have this kind of need, then if we just be lukewarm, then there's no way you and I can reach up to the mountain. Because if we satisfied already, being on the level, right, of the mountain, right, being the bottom of the mountain, so we have no motivation to bring ourselves up to the high mountain. I mean, I know some of you, you know, you're in pretty good shape, right? I'm sure you don't just eat and sleep, right? You probably do exercise, right? If, you know, if a person is in good shape and they, all they do is eat and sleep, then really they are very blessed, right? But very few times people are like this, right? Even though, you know, sometimes even though we're a little bit heavy and stuff, but we exercise, right? And we eat well, but we still don't look too good, right? It's just normal like this. So spiritual speaking is also the same thing. The last 3 years, I told my wife, yeah, I'll get a six-pack, right? It was 3 years ago, I'm still the same. No six-pack, right? Because when I was younger, I'd say I get a six-pack a couple months later, yeah, no problem, right? But now at this age, it's very difficult. Spiritual speaking is the same thing. If we say, I want to go up to the mountain, and then it's not that easy. It's not that easy. We must work at it. And the first thing we do, we must feel the need. To feel the need that inside of us. We always want to be filled with God's word. We always want to fill with God's spirit. Just like exercising, right? And every time, you know, I get into a routine of lifting and stuff like that, and then when I come to NYTS for 2 weeks, that's it, right? You're like, oh, NYTS 2, you lose everything, right? You go back, it takes you a year to look good, 2 weeks, that's all you need, right? You look back, right? And go down the mountain, actually, is the same thing. It's so easy, right? It's much easier to go down the mountain, right? But going up is so difficult, right? So always have the need, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So now if we feel that we are, you know, poor and needy, and in the spirit that we need, what can we do? Yes, there is the kingdom of heaven. Come to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. This kingdom of heaven, talk about the church, right? It is kingdom of heaven, talk about our heart. So in other words, when we feel this kind of need, have fellowship with brothers and sisters. Go to different seminars, read the Bible and pray. But if we never feel like coming to church, if we never feel like having fellowship with brothers and sisters, then it's very difficult for us to continue to grow. And then when we are poor in spirit, look at verse 4, right? Blessed are those who mourn, right? For they shall be comforted. So when we are poor in spirit, we're not going to sit still. We can have this yearning that we want to be filled. Just like babies, when they're crying, most of the time they're crying because what? They're full? No, because they're hungry, right? They want their parents to feed them. So just like for us, when we are yearning for Lord Jesus Christ, because we feel inside it, we just feel so empty, then for sure, our Lord Jesus Christ, for what? He will comfort us. And comfort us. But first, we must have that kind of feeling. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, right, talk about what? Chapter 2, chapter 3, talk about what? Yes, the seven churches, right? The seven churches. The first church, right? The first church, what kind of church is this? What do they lack? What was their problem? What's that? Yes. They lost their first love, right? They lost their first love. And quite often, you and I also will experience this. Why? Because when we lose our first love, this means we have no yearning, right? No desire, right? Just like in any relationship, right? I tell you, you know, in the future, when you meet your future spouse, when you first fall in love, wow, it's really great, really. And sometimes just thinking about them, you feel so satisfied, right? And sometimes hearing their voice, you feel like you're going to melt away, right? That is love, right? And when we first came to Christ, it's the same thing, right? When we kneel down and pray, we just feel the bitterness and say, hallelujah, God is so close to us. But after Christ for a while, and after being married for a while, quite often our love becomes lukewarm, right? I shared with some of you this before. When I first met my wife, right, I used to drive her to school every morning, right? And I live very far from her. So every morning, I take about 3 hours to drive her to school, right? With traffic and this and that, right? And I never mind to do it. I used to get up at 5:30 in the morning, right? Just to get ready, go pick up in downtown Boston area, then bring her to the school, and then go back and get ready and then go to work myself, right? I never mind. But now, you know, my home in Texas is, I'm at the bedrooms on the second floor, right? And sometimes I say, Moody, can you get me some water? My God, do I have to? Really? I'm tired, but I say, why don't we get a fridge and put it up here so we put some water and stuff, you know? Because almost every night she's thirsty, right? And she wants me to, you know, go down and get something to drink, right? But not because I don't love her, right? But sometimes we do feel that love becomes lukewarm. Really, because in our relationship with God, when we become lukewarm, then it's very difficult to yearn for Him, right? Because when you first fall in love, really, your heart, I mean, someday you will know, maybe some of you experience already, right? You can never describe what it's like to be in love unless you yourself have been in love. Because if you look at the symptoms of being in love, it's the same thing as a person going crazy. Really, it's the same symptoms, right? You can't sleep, you can't eat, right? You always think about that thing, right? Whatever, right? You lose energy, right? Things like that. So this being in love. So we have this, don't forget to yearn for Jesus Christ. Don't forget that our heart is always, right, poor. Why? Because we want to be close to Jesus Christ. So after this first church, what? They lost their first love. And what is the second church? Huh? What is the second church? What happened when you lose your first love? What happened when you lose that love? You become what? Huh? What is the second church? If you lose your first love, what happened to your faith? Think about this, really. Think about from a humanistic point of view, right? If you are married, you lose this first love, you have no feelings anymore, right? And then what kind of state is that you in? What kind of state did you in? Huh?
Sorry? Bored? Did you think bored?
Divorce. Oh, she didn't go that far, right? No, you're right, quite often, right? When your love becomes lukewarm and you get divorced with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You just get away from Him, right? But actually, the second church should be what? Laodicea. That is chapter 3, verse 14. And Laodicea is, what is the problem with Laodicea? They are lukewarm, right? Lukewarm. So now when you lose the first love, you have no spark, you have no fire, then become lukewarm, right? So sometimes you've been married for a long time, you come home, and you just say hi to your spouse, then you sit down, and most of the husband watch TV, read newspaper, right? That is lukewarm. Even though you spend with each other every day, but you never talk to one another, right? And when you just lose that kind of love. So quite often, yes, when you and I kneel down and pray to God, there's no communication. Even though we pray in tongues, but there's no relationship. Even though we're in the church. So that's why when we kneel down and pray, we don't feel anything. Just like we've been married for a long time, and we don't have a good relationship with our spouse, when we go home, we don't feel anything. That person is just like your roommate. Then you must check and reflect upon ourselves. So after losing the first love, so I would continue to kindle this first love so we don't become lukewarm. What happens if we become lukewarm? What is the next church it should be? What is the next church it should be? After what happened, become lukewarm? Alina. Yes. Then we become what? The church of Pergamos. Pergamos. So Pergamos is a church that compromised their faith. So now if you and I have lose our first love, if we become lukewarm, then the next step we will compromise our faith. Just like in spousal relationship. If we have no fire for one another, if you become lukewarm, then we're going to look for something else. Another woman, another man. Right? The same thing in our faith. If the fire has gone out with our relationship with Jesus Christ, we become lukewarm. After lukewarm, then what? We will compromise our faith. And what happened after we compromise our faith? What church we become? The church of Thyatira. That church, corrupt church. What happened if you become a corrupt church? Then you become a church of Sardis, right? Chapter 3, verse 1. What happened to the church of Sardis? A dead church. So in our faith is exactly the same thing. So no wonder Jesus Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So when we are poor in spirit, we always yearn for our Lord Jesus Christ. When we yearn for our Lord Jesus Christ, then our faith can never lukewarm. If our faith is never lukewarm, we're never going to compromise our faith. If we never compromise our faith, our faith can never be corrupt. If our faith never corrupt, we're never going to be dead spiritually. But it all starts from losing our first love. It's all starts not feeling the yearning for Jesus Christ. So please remember this. Because a lot of us as young, right, quite often when we talk about Jesus Christ, it seems that Jesus Christ is so far away. When people talk about God, it seems God is so far away. But it should not be like that. Just in John, 1 John chapter 1, right? When we communicate with God, we should be able to hear Him, right? We should be able to see Him, right? We should be able to look upon Him, right? We should be able to handle Him, right? In other words, even though God, He is God, He seems far away, but He's very close to you and I. As long as we yearn for Him. As long as we yearn for Him. So always remember this. Let's go back to Matthew. Then of course the other two churches, right? The church that's persecuted church and the church with brotherly love. Those are the two churches that we want to be, right? Book of Matthew. Chapter 5. Book of Matthew chapter 5. It all starts with verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. When you and I are poor in spirit, then we will seek for the kingdom of heaven. And when you and I are poor in spirit, then we will yearn, right, for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll be comforted. Then verse 5. When you and I are comforted, it says here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So in other words, when you and I feel that we're always in need of our Lord Jesus Christ, then when our Lord Jesus Christ comforts us, then we also be able to comfort others. Then you and I become very humble. Because we know we cannot really take care of ourselves. The reason we feel empty, the reason we feel void, the reason we feel that this world is meaningless, because everything is meaningless without our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we feel like this, then God will comfort us. Give us hope. When God fulfills us, then we will know it's not us, it's God. When we know it's not us, then we become very meek. Right? And if we become very meek, then we shall inherit the earth. What's that mean? What does the earth represent? What does the earth represent? You read Matthew 13, right? The first parable, right? A sower went out to sow, right? The ground and the earth is exactly the same thing, right? So what does the earth represent or the ground represent? Yes, our hearts. So in other words here, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are the meek for the inherit the earth, in other words, our heart become very fertile. Our heart become very good ground. Because quite often, our heart is not, you know, it's not so fertile, it's so hard, right? So no matter what, so that's why when we become humble, and then we inherit the earth, our heart become very fertile. Then verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the minute that our heart become good soil, good ground, we will be hungry and thirsty for what? For righteousness. Then if our heart is weak, then God will be able to fulfill it. This is a very important concept. Quite often when you and I come to church and we look at the topic, the sermon topic that's, you know, going to be given, and sometimes we just feel, I heard it already, right? And then you just shut our heart, we don't want to listen anymore. If we have this kind of mentality, then God will never sow seed inside our heart to make us continue to grow. The same thing. Sometimes we feel that, you know, if a minister speaks in Chinese, if we're only English speaking, we shouldn't listen to him, right? Because it's boring, right? If we have that kind of mentality, then we can never grow in our faith. For me, since I came to Jesus Christ 14 years ago, most of the sermon I have heard, all in translation, right? In all in translation. But from the beginning, I always make determination. If I learn one new thing from this sermon speaker, then it's one new thing I did not know before. So no matter what, when I come to listen Chinese, you know, translation to English, I always learn at least one thing. And this was my goal. So because of this, and every time I sit down, I realize that God is the one that's speaking, not man. Because if that person who's speaking is a man of God, God will speak through them. So with this kind of mentality, I always learn new things. Even now. For me, my favorite part to be a pastor nowadays is to have Bible study with brothers and sisters. And after Bible study, I mean during the conclusion of Bible study, I always ask brothers and sisters to share. And that is the time that I learn the most. Because sometimes some brothers and sisters, God really gives them the wisdom, right? To see the Bible very clearly. And if there's 10 brothers and sisters sharing, this means you can learn 10 new things from their thoughts, from what God has given to them. So that is my favorite part of being a minister. During Bible study, I can hear brothers and sisters. So always have this kind of mentality. It doesn't matter who comes to speak up here, because whoever speaks up here, they also have responsibility to answer to God. But for us, we also have to have responsibility to God also. Let us sit down and be able to listen to them and ask God, God, please teach me, right, one new thing during this Sabbath so I can apply it to my life, so I can live out this thing that I've learned. So have this kind of mentality. But don't think, oh, I cannot understand Chinese, right, for example. Then it's a waste of time for me to come for morning service. Why? Because they only speak Chinese to translate to English. Then I will come in the afternoon service. Why? Because it's Bible study, right? Everybody speaks English. If we have that kind of mentality, we don't understand truly to worship God. You know, when I was in the Greek Orthodox Church, I mean, if have any one of you went to the Greek Orthodox Church before? Just to visit? Oh, good. Okay, you don't need to go there, but. But when you first, the church, right, is very majestic, right, the church, you go there. And when you walk in, everything is gold-plated, right? Then the priests who speak, really, they have this golden robe on, right? And they have this golden hat on, right? They have this tall hat, right, that they wear, right? Then there's a little boy, right, holding the Bible for them as they speak, right? And when they speak, there's two, three other people behind them who, you know, support them, right? Just like a singer, right? You know, if they say, Jesus love you, right? Then the three people say, Jesus love you, like that. You guys never heard that before? Especially during Easter and stuff like that, right? I mean, the three people there, they're on fire, you know, right? But the thing is, when they speak, it just feels very majestic, right? When they say certain things. And then when they have something important to say, there's another pulpit. The pulpit is up here, for example, but there's another one. It's way up here, always toward the ceiling. So when they have something important to say, they go all the way up here, then everybody has to stand up and look at him, right? This means that's really something important to say, right? I went to the Greek Orthodox Church for many, many years. Never once I was touched by anything that the priest said. Really, never once. I don't remember, right? And the only time I cry is the time they bring out the incense, right? Because the incense kills my eyes and my tears come down, right? Of course, I'm not saying actually there's a lot of good people there too. I'm not saying that, but I never feel touched by God. But my first time in TJC, think about this, right? My first time in TJC, we, you know, in Boston at the time, we rented a place in a church. When I went to the church, like, wow, this is a very nice church. And I was proceeding to go to the front door of the church, like, no, Rudy, don't go there. That's not, we didn't rent that part, right? We only rent the basement. So we had to go down to the basement, right? And there's two rooms we can use, right? And of course, when I walk into the rooms, there's no chairs, anything. So we all have to bring out chairs, and you know, the steel chairs has a lot of rust and stuff on it, right? So they brought it out. And of course, I'm waiting for someone to go up and speak. Instead, they wheel out the television, right? And back then, there's no DVDs. Back then, it's VHS. You guys remember VHS? Maybe it's too young, right? VHS. When I watched the first sermon, right? It's all snowy, right? The VHS was all snowy. I hardly can see the translator or the speaker. And when the speaker speaks, I hardly can hear them, right? Because the sound quality is so bad, right? But during that sermon, I shed tears. I was so touched, I forgot what it was, but I was really touched. I was really touched. And the first time in my life, I shed tears during listening to a sermon. So from then on, God taught me, really, it's not because you speak English. It's not because you speak so well, no. It's about if God wants to touch you or not. That is the most important part. So when we bring true seekers to church, don't be lack of faith. If a Chinese preacher is speaking, you bring him to the church. And if God truly wants to open their heart, God will open their heart. It's not because you bring them and the person speaking in English. Because God is willing. That's the kind of faith that you and I have. But the minute that a person is speaking up there, it's only Chinese speaking, translate English, and a person can only understand English, you don't want to bring them to listen. This means we have no faith in God. All we have is faith in man. Faith in man. So think about this. This church is God's church. It's not any one of us. So in other words, anything that happened in the church, God allowed to happen. If we bring a true seeker to our church, if God wants to move their heart, God will move their heart. As simple as that. So always remember this. But the minute we want to stop this kind of progress, feel that we're afraid of this, we're afraid of that, then it's telling about our faith. Telling about our faith. I have many experiences like this in church. Many experiences. Because it doesn't matter who we bring to church, if we really have good faith, God will move their hearts. And my adopted father, he passed away now, right? My adopted father, the first time he came to our church was in the basement, right, in the church in Boston. And during that time, we kneeled down and prayed. And my dad never experienced such things, right, before. So when we kneeled down and prayed, and then afterward, he didn't say anything. But when he was dying on his bed, he said to me one thing, because during that time we're trying to push him, and we feel like we're going to lose hope already. And right during that time when we feel that we lose all hope, then my dad cheered me. He said, "Budi, remember when you brought me to your church during that time? And you guys didn't let me pray, make noises?" That's what he said, right? And he said, "During that time, when you guys were praying, I feel this wind came upon me, right? And my body was burned with fire. I was so hot, right?" And when he told me that, I knew God moved his heart since then. And when the minister told me that, I went to the Bible, you know, in Acts chapter 2, when he received the Holy Spirit, and my dad completely shed tears. Because it's exactly how he felt in that time. But I didn't know, right? I didn't know. I did not know at all. But God already moved his heart. What happened if we did not kneel down and pray? I don't think he experienced that kind of experience. So from then on, so I read to him, you know, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4. Then he started to shed tears. Then his faith completely increased. So don't, because we ourselves lack of faith, we stop others from experiencing God. But for us, we have to understand first, we always feel that we are poor in spirit. Then there's the kingdom of heaven. Then when we see this kingdom of heaven, we will yearn for it. When we yearn for it, then God will comfort us. When God comforts us, we'll be meek because we know it's not we are the one that's doing it, but God himself. And when we become very meek, our heart becomes very fertile. This means we yearn for righteousness, we are thirst for righteousness. When we build to, you know, feel hungry for thirsty and for righteousness, then God will fill. And only then that you and I can truly live a life to be merciful. Only then that you and I can be pure in heart. Only then that we can see only then we can be the peacemaker. And only then we can suffer righteousness. So it's a process to be up on the mountain. It's not an overnight thing. Let's buy a place.